In this chapter 6 of John's Gospel, there was a very serious learning curve for the disciples that were with the Lord. If you read in Matthew chapter 14 and the verse 15, you see there what their collective thinking was concerning the multitude. It's the same story recorded by a different gospel writer. And it says there, and in verse 15 of Matthew 14, "And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, 'This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals.'" Send them away. That was not part of the Savior's plan for those who gathered that day before him. There were, as far as men are concerned, 5,000 at least who were very hungry, as well as the others. And the Lord Jesus, as he wants to teach his own disciples here, he sees the company and he says to Philip, "When shall we buy bread that these may eat?" In the beginning of the test is seen at verse 6, or the learning curve. And this he said to prove him. Philip didn't have to think for very long, but rather he quickly comes back to the Lord with his answer in verse 7. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little." What you're asking, Lord, is not a possibility. Now, perhaps trying to bolster up Philip's analysis of the situation, if you look at verse 9, you see that Andrew's thinking is very similar to Philip's. "There is a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many?" In other words, just as Philip has said, the case is a hopeless one as far as feeding all these people is concerned. And folks, their reaction to the great need around them concerning all of those hungry people, I believe, is a fairly accurate summary of how I feel, and perhaps how you feel sometimes when we are faced with the great spiritual need that there is all around us in Ulster at the present time. And we suggest, maybe not to the Lord, but at least to our own heart, we suggest that there's nothing we can do to change things. And really, just as Andrew said about the fish and the loaves at the end of verse 9, what are we among so many? And that thought can lead to you becoming discouraged and despondent in the work of God. Many have concluded that because of the vastness of the need before us, that really what we do is a cause that cannot prosper. And here it says in verse 6 that he had said this to prove Philip. The Lord was not playing games, but rather he was doing what he did to strengthen his believers and to encourage them. And folks, the Church of Christ is being tested today. If you're a Christian, you know that. With different kinds of trials, and we don't really see an answer lying with us when we look around us, wherever you go. I always seem to notice it more if I'm at the coast or somewhere where there's a lot of people, maybe in the city, and you see people everywhere, and the thought does come to your mind. We do not really have an answer or any way of dealing with the spiritual need of the people around us. And that is very, very well illustrated here in the reaction of both Peter and Andrew. It is worth noting that Peter and Andrew, his brother, were men of Bethsaida, and also Philip was from there too, and that is where they were now. They were really at home. They were in their own area, and the Lord is teaching them a lesson concerning the message or the need being met there. Certainly, we have illustrated here something very important for you to remember and me. In these days of hardness and indifference, yes, it's lovely to have fellowship together, and it's very, very important for us. But in the daily round, wherever you be, you know what I'm talking about, and just how great the need is. But we have illustrated here that human inability does not mean that Christ is not able. And that brings me to our text, which is at the end of verse 6, where it says, For he himself knew what he would do. For he himself knew what he would do. And I trust us, we soon face another, what we call the working week, that what we say will help all of us to remember that with God nothing is impossible. Because that is what the Lord Jesus showed his disciples here on this occasion when the 5,000 men plus the others were all fed. And those words, he himself knew what he would do, are the key words. So the title this morning is a very simple one for you and I to hold on to. He cannot fail. He cannot fail. I want you to think first of all of divine perfection. Philip's language was really such that he was saying, we cannot deal with this on a human level. You see, Philip could not get beyond human resources. He mentions a figure, an amount of money, 200 pennyworth, over a quarter of a man's average annual salary at that time. And he's saying that, what can that do? It can really only help a little bit with the food that is needed. But Christ, he knew himself what he would do. Philip was far from perfect, just like you and me. But the Lord knew what he could do. And maybe this day you've come along to worship the Lord and you don't really have an answer. Maybe you don't have an answer concerning those who you know who are resisting the gospel, but maybe in some other area of your life, you don't have an answer there either. And on a human level, there just does not seem to be a way. And how easy stress and anxiety can cause us to forget divine perfection. Now, I wouldn't be fit to tie the shoelaces of Philip or Andrew, but on this occasion, they were not focusing on the Lord and on what he was able to do. But rather, they saw this great need around them and felt that there was nothing that they could do. We're looking here at divine perfection. Notice, first of all, that he's not limited. He knew what he would do. That's what our text shows us. A very tense situation was not out of his control. You see, Christ is God, deity, and he had a will that would be seen to be done here because he's not limited. And even in that thought itself, Christian, there can be a great degree of stability for us when we're continually looking for his dealing. We're not like Philip, who was merely looking to the quarter or more than that of an annual salary, or like Andrew, who was looking to the young fella's barley loaves and the couple of fish that he had. But there's stability for us in our thinking and therefore in our living when we're looking for his dealing in the difficulties that are faced today in evangelism. That is true. It would be wrong of me to shy away from anxiety and stress. We don't like it. But when we think of what the Lord did for us, I would never ask for, we don't ask for an easy life on an easy path. The Lord's work has never been ever like that. But the difficulties that there are in evangelism today, or we can bring it into the house in our daily experience. Look for his hand. For he knows what he can do. And maybe there is an honest soul in the pew here this morning and you're trying hard, but there's no way you feel that your situation can improve. Please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. It's just one of those chapters where in one or two of the verses we are reminded that certainly the Lord knows what he can do and what he will do. Speaks in verse 10 about people being gathered together in one, all things in Christ. But if you look at verse 11, it says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Predestined means that God chose you and I in eternity past. When we come as sinners to him, we make our calling and election sure, and that is your responsibility if you're not saved, to come to him. But surely here's a verse that reminds us, the one who has saved us eternally, folks, he's able to meet your everyday needs. He knows what he will do. Maybe you're at wit's end corner, like I be sometimes. You don't know what to do. And maybe you're feeling there just is not a way. Well, here is a verse that reminds us, he who delivered you and I from the bondage of sin, it says there that he worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. He knows what he will do. It's probably not a family that there's not something that is causing some kind of concern, in the mind at least. But he knows what he will do. Maybe you would look at what it says now, please, in the book of Isaiah, in chapter 46. It says in verse 9 of that chapter, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. Seems that in some ways that's not what Philip and Andrew were really doing. Then it says in verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. I think the Lord's forgotten about you. That he's not aware of our situation, whether it is to do with the work of evangelism in general, or something that is personal to me or to you. You see, the disciples at this time were not looking to Christ for the answer. And really, what we want to do, folks, is remember his past faithfulness. Remember what he has done. And to do that, sometimes we have to listen to the Bible preached, and we have to read it and see the works of God. And see what he has done. And see what he's done for various peoples in difficult circumstances. Northern Ireland needs the Lord to move. Everybody knows, every Christian is very aware of that. And remembering his past works are important if we're going to look to him by faith now. That was a lesson for Philip and Andrew. Possible situation. But then there's divine perfection. He knew himself what he would do, and he knew he couldn't fail. And he knew he had a will. So he was not limited here in that he was able to fulfill his will, and he would do that. But he also noted their longing. It says there, they were hungry. They were hungry. You needn't worry about turning back. I'll just read what it says in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 14 this time. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. See the expression there, he was moved with compassion. Several times in the scripture you see that. He was moved with compassion. He noted here the hunger of the people. It was him in verse 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw the company come unto him, immediately says to Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? Compassion. Consideration and care. And he noted here that they were hungry. And folks, today the Lord still has great compassion in his heart for men or women who are in great need spiritually and who are still outside of Christ. If I read what it says in Mark's Gospel in chapter 1 this time and verse 41, we have the situation here with the leper who's come beseeching him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him. And folks, he's still able to put forth his hand and to do whatever in his perfect will he wants to do. He noted their longing. And he noted this man's longing. He put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will be thou clean. Yes, that is what he's able to do for all in Northern Ireland who don't know him. Now, they may not be longing for him at this moment in time, but they're longing for something. They're longing for something. And I've mentioned before that when you read of those who are famous, sometimes, and I think they're being very, very honest, sometimes they're confessing to the world, whether they're singers or actors, whatever they are, their emptiness. Confessing to the world their emptiness. There's a longing that may not, in their own heart, they may not even know the gospel, but there's something missing there, and they know that. And so do some of my relatives and yours. And the Lord's able to put forth his hand and touch them because his compassion is still something which is very real. And also, in your individual circumstances, whatever they are. So when we look here at divine perfection, we see that he's not limited. We see that he noted their longing. But notice here that he needed willing vessels to use. This was one of the most powerful miracles that the Lord Jesus ever wrought. And yet he turns to these men. Worse than that, men who are displaying a lack of faith. One saying, oh, how can we ever buy enough with this money? We can't. And the other one saying, we've only got a couple of fish here and a few loaves. That'll do nothing. They're not looking by faith. Certainly not as they should be. But these were the ones that, if you look at verse 11 there, it says, he distributed to his disciples, that is regarding the loaves and the fishes, the very men who were displaying so little faith. He took them and he used them as vessels to be used in carrying out his will. There's one thing that is very, very important for the church at Corinth to remember. When the Lord was talking to them in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And he's talking about the need of the people all around them, just the same as it is in 2022 in Ulster. Verse 4 of 2 Corinthians 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Maybe you would move down to verse 7. But we have this treasure. What treasure? The gospel message. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. That's us. Earth I washed unto earth. Dust I washed unto dust I shalt return. That's us. Just vessels. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We're just a weak vessel who falters, just like Philip and Andrew. And yet the Lord will use us. And he'll use you and I today. And we want to ask ourselves the question, as we come to the end of this point about divine perfection, and the title is of the message, He Cannot Fail, is our faith smaller than we would want it to be? Is our faith not what we would want it to be? You know, there is a silly myth sometimes that if you are saved, man or woman, that you won't have any difficulties or you won't have any struggles. That is a myth, nothing more than that. Over there in Isaiah 50, it says in verse 10, "Who is among you that feareth the Lord?" So here's a Christian person that obeyeth the voice of a servant. And then it says, "That walketh in darkness and hath no light." And perhaps we tend to place our faith in feelings or circumstances, feeling easy and straightforward and no hassle. And then we feel we have good faith then. But really, what we're seeing in this verse 10 is we're not to place our faith in circumstances that can change and do change. But it says there in that verse 10, "Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay or lean upon his God." We're to trust in the character and the word of God. You see, it's almost as though Philip and Andrew had forgotten that. And amazingly, the Lord Jesus had this great multitude in verse 2 who followed him because they saw the miracles which he did on them that were diseased. Philip and Andrew had already saw the Lord do that which was miraculous, and yet they faltered. "Well, I'm not going to be too hard on them, because I could be worse than them." And I asked myself the question, is my faith small? Folks, let us lean upon the Lord and upon his character. And remember this. Remember divine perfection. He cannot fail. The text is, "For he himself knew what he would do." He still does. Divine perfection. But then there is the details he possessed. Look at the text. It actually says, "He himself knew." If you were to look at that word in the original language, looking at his knowledge here, he knew what he was about to do. The situation seemed impossible, but he knew what he was about to do. He knew every detail of the situation. He knew what it would take to send all those who were hungry away satisfied. That's a powerful thing to bear in your mind. He knew what it would take to send them all the hungry away satisfied. There is the comfort for you and I, the comfort of his knowing. Sometimes things surprise us. Shock us, maybe a better word to use. But I wonder, do I every day remember that nothing catches him unawares? Nothing catches him unawares. And it's good to remember that in the daily round. And what we would call all the ordinary things of life. Sometimes we get frustrated and flustered. Preacher and listener alike. And maybe today as you look out, whether it is to do with your service for the Lord or something else, you see nothing but turmoil ahead and you're worried about the future. You're worried about the future for the young people. Remember this, take comfort in the fact he knows what he'll do. He has full knowledge of the details of what is going to happen. John Hannah was mentioned to me this morning in the prayer meeting. John Hannah was home and has been or will be taking part in some of those missionary meetings that have been held by the board in the mission in the Lisburn congregation. John Hannah, Reverend John Hannah, as you're aware, labored for a very long time in Spain. And I remember as a young Christian, just saved, going to the prayer meetings. in Dungannon, and he was home, and then he was home again on furlough. And I remember the first couple of times he was home, and he was really honest with us, and he was telling us just about just how hard it was, just how difficult it was at that time. But I can remember on one occasion, I can't remember his exact words, but it was like this: the Lord knows. And so he did. The Lord knows all the details of the situation. I'm not going to turn to the book of Esther. Remember how wicked Haman had plans for the Jews to destroy them? And the words concerning Esther were, whenever she was going into the king, she displayed great love for the people, a genuine love does something, still does today. And she went in and she was to go into the king, which you were not allowed to do unless you were invited. And she said, if I perish, I perish. But also in that passage, there was how but this I know but that thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. You see, she was to go in there and relying on the Lord. If I perish, I perish. Now, the king held out the scepter to her. The difference for you today is the Lord holds out the scepter to us all the time. We are always welcome in his presence. I wonder, have we the spirit of Esther? Even the spirit of John Hannah, it was exceedingly difficult. Hardly any, the board didn't have the finances that they're now able to provide at that time, even for some of our missionaries, and it was very, very difficult. But isn't there a comfort in knowing that he knows? The details he possessed, he knew what he was about to do. There's the comfort of knowing, but then there is the completeness of his plans, because he knew he would deal with this enormous need that was here before those disciples who didn't know what to do. That was just it. They didn't know what to do. Now look at Matthew chapter 6. See what it says there. And verse 8. It says there, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. And again over in verse 32 of the same chapter, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Folks, the Lord knows your situation and mine. And maybe you're serving the Lord or elsewhere. Your experience, and at this moment in time, it seems big. Big need. Big need. Well, I hope we've said enough to have you know that the Lord knows all about it. And more than that, that he's able to deal with it. That's what we're looking at now. Comfort in knowing that he had a plan for it. He knew what he was about to do. And yet he had asked Philip and Andrew about it. I want to consider something here. It's very, very simple, but we need to remember it. It wasn't an accident that this young lad was there with five loaves and two fish, five little babs. It was providence. It was providence that had him there. And as his people, he arranges things that our spiritual need may be met. We've already looked here in Matthew 6 on two places in that chapter where he knows what we need before we ask. But we need to ask. That means we need to be men and women who pray, able to meet our spiritual need. When that happens, I'm sure part of the lesson here that Philip and Andrew learned was to pray more, because there may be other experiences ahead where they'll need to be strong for. So it is for the Church of Christ today. Relatively easy to evangelize, to go out and do what you need to do. More difficult times could come in any country. And remember King Asa, when things were easy, the land had rest before him. He fortified the cities. He strengthened the people. We need to strengthen ourselves now. Folks, come and pray if you can. And you're even just be there and you're praying in your own heart. The details he possessed, he knows what he will do. Please don't think things are out of control either in the country or anywhere else. There was divine perfection, the details he possessed, but then there's the demonstration of possibility here. He actually fed the 5,000, and that was a great miracle. But I want you to notice very importantly here that he only broke the five loaves and he only broke them once. When he multiplied the bread here, does not mean that many other loaves appeared. But it was really a miracle. It's a creation miracle. He broke five loaves and he broke them once. In fact, in Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, this is my final reference for today. Mark's Gospel 6. Just want to show you this. And verse 41. It says, and when he taken the five loaves and the two fishes, it's the same miracle. The two fishes, he looked up at heaven and blessed and break the loaves. And if you looked at that word break there in the original language, it is one finished act. He broke the five loaves, five of them, and he did it once. And then when you see there, it says, and gave them to his disciples. The word gave there carries the thought of continuing to give. So there wasn't more loaves appeared, but rather the five was multiplied and multiplied and multiplied by him until everybody was fed. He kept giving bread until they were all filled. You see, he cannot fail. And the demonstration here of possibility is this. The great need that's out there. The Lord has got one gospel. And he offered himself once for sin. And his work on the cross is sufficient. His once and for all sacrifice is sufficient to meet the needs of every sinner that will ever come to him. And just as we noticed here, the bread was broken once and continually offered out. Christ was broken once. He died once. And the gospel is continually offered. It's offered to you today. If you go right away through this chapter to verse 35 in John 6, verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. They had learned a lot about bread. He said, now I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst. That's the gospel invitation to you. Possibility for you to be filled. Christian, remember in your circumstances, we've already talked about, he cannot fail. He knows all about them. He knows what he will do. Unsafe person. Here's a possibility for you. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. Many people in Northern Ireland with spiritual need. This is the answer, a crucified Christ. I trust the Lord will help us all today to remember that Christ, He cannot fail.